searching for something to put a smile back on your face. Just remember, in unusual times, it can come from an unusual place. You need a partner for the ride, 'cause everybody needs a Clyde. So set your worries to the side. Pretend I got a hand I can lend, 'cause when you really need a friend, just ask. Shit 90 Shows taught me.
Shit 90 Shows taught me was not filmed before a live studio audience.
Do you not want to wait? Neither do we. Welcome back to Shit 90 Shows taught me. I'm Jess Sterling, here with my co-host, Sarah Ferguson. Sarah, how are you?
I don't have a bit, so this is my bit. I'm doing well. How are you?
Oh my God, it was a long day, but I'm happy to be here talking Dawson's Creek. Every week, I feel like I watch the episode very early in the week, and then I just get so excited to talk about it all week. I'm just like waiting to be able to talk about it, because we don't talk about the episode. These are all like fresh thoughts between each other, because that would just ruin the magic of the podcast, I think.
Oh, yeah. No, of course it would. Yeah. This week I held out because I felt like last week, since I watched it so soon after the pod, there was like a major lag time. So I held out until I think it was Monday when I watched the episode. And dude, like it was a pretty... So like you said to me beforehand, like, I can't wait for you to watch this episode. Mm-hmm. So I was like watching it. I'm like, I don't really know, like, what exactly you want me to look out for. Like, I wasn't sure if this was like watching it, I was like, I don't really know, like, maybe you want, like, you thought I was gonna be excited about the Jen stuff. Yeah. I guess that's
it's a pretty
what I thought.
Standard episode up until the final like couple seconds,
and then like the final seconds happened, and I literally gasped and got goosebumps, like real goosebumps. And I wanted to send you a picture of my goosebumps, because they lasted for a few seconds. And Drew was like next to me while I was watching it, and he literally said, like, I don't get excited for any television show like you get excited about Dawson's Creek. He was like, nothing like shocks me or excites me like Dawson's Creek does to you, because I have like actual reactions.
Yeah.
Like, even with the starting scene of the, like, the symbolic ladder getting, like, like, it's an end of an era. I got, like, brought down. Even that made me gasp. I was like, I can't believe
how
it. The ladder's coming down.
Yeah.
How horrible.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's a doozy. Like, and I'm... In regards to the final scene, in regards to guess who showing back up, like, there's not much to say about it quite yet, is there?
No, that'll and be I more next week,
And I didn't watch ahead.
No,
but,
no.
Like, of course she comes back. Like, of course she comes back, like, right when, like, you know, I feel as though, like, Pacey's starting to forget about her. Like, starting to, like, get to know Andy and, like, getting to enjoy, like, Andy's company. Like, of course that's when she comes back. And, I mean, I guess we can fully get into later, or maybe we, like, don't bury the lead, or maybe we talk about our 90s nightcap or some other bullshit or what we're watching. Like, or maybe we just jump into it. I don't really know. Like, what I'm drinking a sangria. I'm not supposed to drink today, but hello.
No, I'm
like,
drinking.
We need it.
I needed it today. I'm drinking a 9-pin, which, have I had this on the podcast? I feel like I have.
I've heard you talk about it.
Nine Pin. It's a New York hard cider company. Yeah. And as far as what I'm watching, still watching Taskmaster. Still brilliant. Everybody go watch it. I'm up to series 9 now. It's excellent. It's hilarious. It makes me laugh so hard. And I'm also rewatching The Leftovers, which is on HBO. Go watch that show if you have not. It only if you're in a good headspace. If you're in a bad headspace, don't watch that show because it's very like deep and it can get dark. But it's an excellent show. You should definitely listen or watch it. Anyway, that's what I'm watching. Are you watching anything new and exciting?
I finished a bunch of stuff. Like, I've been really, like, getting through my shows that were popular in, like, 2019, but I'm just watching them now.
Yeah. List.
Like, finished The Morning Show. Mm-hmm. That was pretty good. I finished, like, Emily in Paris. That was a show that I watched. Right now, I'm, like, a couple of episodes into The Haunting of Bly Manor, mm-hmm. which is scary. So, like, I'm doing okay with that. And then aside from that, watching The Circle.
Yep.
Yep. And then, yeah. And in terms of 90s nightcaps, so my friend got me for my birthday this little, like, sangria in a mason jar thing where it has like ingredients aside from the wine of sangria, and you just like put it in the mason jar and just like shake it up.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm giving that a go.
Is it good? How are you liking it?
She's pretty good. I mean, I love sangria. I love red sangria.
Mm-hmm.
So but yeah, it's pretty good.
I don't know that I've had sangria once. I don't know.
Really?
I usually stay away from red wine, even though I know sangria is sweet, right?
It's sweet,
yeah. Yes. So I'd probably like it.
Yeah, they have white sangria too. That sangria is actually how I got into liking red wine, actually, because I used to only be a white person, and then I had white sangria, and then I switched to red sangria, and then from there I got into red wine. So that's kind of like the progress,
yeah,
the process.
I can't do the dry wines.
It's not, and now I only drink red wine, as you know. I don't like white anymore.
Yeah.
Isn't that weird how that happens?
Look at that. Evolution.
Yeah. An evolution.
All right, well, shall we get into it? I'm ready to talk Dawson's Creek this week. Oh, rhymes. Okay. So here is my list of people we can talk about. We have Joey and family, Dawson and family. Jen and Abby, Pacey and Andy. I lumped econ class together because that's just like all of them. Dawson and Joey, obviously. Mitch and Gail. The drama continues. Dawson and Jen. And then Pacey and Jack.
Okay.
Who sticks out?
Maybe let's go to Joey and Bessie.
Okay. Drama continues with the Potter family. I don't know. Do you think, so Bessie asks Joey to like go take a look at the ice house because they're paranoid about like an inspection and like health violations and being shut down and all of that. Is she like stepping over the line with her requests for Joey?
I think that Bessie really relies on Joey to be the partner in her life. Like, I don't know where Bodie is.
That's my question.
What he's doing, what he's up to. Like, they're obviously still together, but I don't know if, like, Bodie's, like, new job that he got when the baby was born, like, just takes up all of his time and, like, he has to travel. Like, maybe he's, like, not staying at their house. Like, maybe he's somewhere else. So Bessie's like really relying on Joey for freaking everything. And I think that, like, I mean, so say school starts at 8:30 or something for them. This is happening at like maybe 7:30.
Yeah.
So Joey has to row her ass to the ice house and then like clean and then make it in time for AP English.
Yeah.
Like, it's,
we know it's Dawson's too much. Not fucking giving him, like, motorboating her across the creek. So she's stuck doing it on her own. And yeah, I think it's a bit too much to ask of Joey. Like, yes, Bessie needs help, obviously, like, especially if Bodie's busy. Bessie has a young baby, you know, she's a young parent, she has a lot going on, but not for nothing, like, Joey didn't sign up for that. Like, Joey didn't choose to have the baby. Joey was just right. there. And so I feel like to rely on her, and I think like even just having her work at the Ice House, that's fine and everything. But I feel like Bessie relies on her for like too much with the Ice House. It's like mm-hmm. at the point where Joey is not complaining that she doesn't have a personal life. Joey's complaining that she can't get a homework assignment done. Like to me,
right.
that's more important. It's not like she's like, I wanted to go to this school dance and I can't go. No, she's trying to get a fucking project done that's worth like 30% of her grade.
Yeah, Bessie should make sure that Joey's main priority is school so mm-hmm. that Joey can go to college and get a good career and then maybe help them out down the line. Like, you know, like school should be Joey's first priority.
Yeah.
Obviously, you know, when it comes to family and family business, like there's so many blurred lines.
Right.
It's very hard to keep it separate. So, but expecting Joey to be a live-in nanny, a housekeeper, a like server, a cleaner, like it's way too much. And I really feel for Joey because Joey's, you know, Joey's family, very family or like very family oriented, and the fact that like she understands her responsibility in right. the household, like even though it's like her sister and obviously her parents are not around, but I guess like Joey feels like she's the burden because Bessie's laying her into her home. I don't yeah. know if this was like the family home or what the deal was.
Yeah, I don't think we know. I would assume it was. That was my assumption because like. Yeah.
But then why does like Joey sleeps on the couch? So she lost her room to Alexander.
Yeah, that's fair. They probably had to downsize after her dad went to jail or something was my
assumption. I feel as though like they lost the family house. This is probably Bessie and Bodie's house. Like Bessie probably got kicked out when she got like pregnant or started dating Bodie. And this is probably right. like Bessie's house. And they had to like sell the house because they couldn't afford
or
the house.
Or it could be Bodie's house that they moved into after the fact.
Right. Too. Like I have a feeling like this is not
yeah.
like Joey's
home. But we have to assume home. That Joey lived at least nearby because she always rode the creek mm-hmm. to, like, she was always able to get to Dawson's as a kid, right?
Right.
So,
right.
like, but yeah, I agree. Like, I think it's tough. I don't know that there's necessarily a right answer here because, like, Bessie does need help and it's not like she can afford to be paying a lot of people. But then again, that's not Joey's problem, even though Joey takes it on. What I more had an issue with
was
is
it,
like,
was it, so sorry. Sorry,
that's okay.
Was it Mr. Potter's ice house?
Yeah, he was the one who like ran
it's the family business.
Yeah. But that's the thing. It's like, you know, Joey, I got annoyed when Joey was like suggesting ways to help. And you know, Bessie was just like bitter and jealous that Joey didn't go to her, mm-hmm. that she went to that woman, Laura, instead. And like she was taking right. out all the pent up aggression from like the pressure of the ice house inspection coming and Joey like not choosing her for the assignment. And she's just really angry about it. And she takes it out on Joey. And it's just like, Joey's trying to help you. Like, first of all, Joey just working there alone is helping you. But now she's coming up with ideas to like get the family business, you know, get more customers in, make more money. And you're just shooting her down. And these were free ideas. Like she even said, Laura yeah. offered to do it for free. So
right. I mean, obviously, like, I think that was a good piece of advice, like refreshing your look every so often.
Yes.
That happens all the time in business. Mm-hmm. And she said that she would redo the logo for free. But yeah, like Bessie's definitely bitter that, you know, Joey gets this assignment. She unfortunately has to work alone.
Bullshit, by the way.
And she, you know, I can understand why Bessie's offended. It's like, I'm practically a single mother owning a business. Like, I might not be successful in the terms of like making
money,
millions, yeah. but like I, you know, keep this whole place afloat.
I think that they're like, they could have compromised though. Like, I feel like you can ask Bessie how to like make a budget because she obviously mm-hmm. has tons of experience in that department. But in my opinion, like if you're looking for somebody who has like in a specific education or like a higher education who's gone to college and then grad school or something like that, I don't believe Bessie has. So like to me, why is Bessie getting her panties in a twist about this when like, she only meets a few of the requirements for the assignment itself.
Right. I mean, it's a pride thing. It's a pride thing. Mm-hmm. Ultimately, like, you know, they get into it and, mm-hmm. like, Joey gets fired, but, like, she refuses Ridiculous. To be fired. Yeah. And I think, like, what Bessie is trying to, like, get out of Joey is, like, you know, that, you know, Joey, like, Joey says that she's proud of Bessie and of all she does, and, like, she really looks up to her older sister. And I think that that's ultimately what Bessie wants. She wants the acknowledgement. She wants to be, like, you know, shown that, like, all of her hard work is, like, towards something, and that she's, like, gained the acknowledgement that she's doing this, like, kind of on her own. Mm-hmm. So I think that that's what she was looking for, like, you know, being acknowledged and appreciated right. for right, because, all that she does.
Right, because she is a parent to Joey, and she didn't exactly sign up for that job either, right? Like, neither of mm-hmm. them signed up for the situation that they're in. But I appreciated the end scene between them where they kind of realize, like, they need each other, and they do yeah. rely on each other, even though, I mean, theoretically, like, Bessie is, like, the parent in this situation. They really do make a good team. And I do think that, like, they do kind of have very different personalities. And so, of course, they're bound to clash. I feel like Joey is a bit more blunt and Bessie is a bit more sensitive. And so that's naturally going to, like, clash a mm-hmm. bit. But I really liked yeah. the end scene that they had together where they kind of realized, like, you know what? We need to work together, like, they kind of agree that, you know, Joey's gonna be allowed to have her time to still be a teenager. She doesn't, you know, Bessie doesn't want to completely take that away from her.
Right. Yeah.
I like the growth between them. I like that in season two, we are getting more, like, even the conversation she had with Bessie about Dawson and this conversation. Like, I like the growing relationship between her and between Joey and Bessie, because I feel like we didn't get a lot of that in season one.
Yeah, me too. I think that I feel as though I felt like their relationship wasn't as close in the beginning
yeah.
of the series. But yeah, I do like how, you know, we're developing this relationship. We're getting an understanding on each other and, like, how they react to one another, like, the responsibilities that they feel like they both have towards one another. So it is very interesting. I like how, like, Bessie's, like, I'll just have me and Jack work. It's like, Jack, it, like, makes, like, the work, like, three times harder for you.
How do you, it's not, like, know wait. How to mop, Jack? Like, you don't just, like, dump yeah. the water dump all the on water. The floor. What are you
Jack
doing?
Jack doesn't know how to mop. It's fine. It's fine. At least he's not breaking dishes at this moment.
That's true. That's fair. Mm-hmm. I think it's a natural next step to move to Dawson and his family. Because
yeah.
I think, like, we see, like you said, we see Mitch pull down the ladder, and it's because, like, they yeah. caught them making out and all this stuff, and he's like, it's the end of an era, like, Joey can't be climbing in your room anymore. Dawson calls himself a sexual being. Like,
It's a little much.
Like, can you ever imagine saying that to your parents? No. Come on.
Yeah. I mean, no, I don't imagine. I can't imagine me saying that I'm a sexual being to my parents. That's a lot. The argument, you know, is the argument's flawed. Like, you know, he's saying that you have to let me grow up. Like, we're going to do what we're going to do. Like, there's nothing that's going to ultimately stop them. But so, like, why be a typical parent? Be a cool parent. Let's be alone. Like, yeah. This is never going to fly if, once again, we got to enable the open door policy. Yeah. It's, like, not happening, Dawson.
I was just going to say that, like, I don't know where I land on this because, like, again, I'm not a parent, so maybe I won't know until I am. But, like, Dawson has a decent point in that, like, oh, well, we're not gonna not have sex just because there isn't a ladder there. Like, I don't agree with his, like, oh, let me hang out alone unsupervised in my bedroom with Joey. Like, no, the door is gonna remain open. But, like, there is an argument there for, like, in my opinion, if you know your kid is going to have sex at least make sure they're having safe sex and not,
yeah,
not safe as in like don't do it by a dumpster or something like that. Like give them condoms or something just to make sure that they're prepared, because yeah, we're obviously heading down that road. But like, I agree, like, if I'm Mitch, I'm like, well, yeah, maybe you're going to have sex, but you're not going to have it. Like, I'm not going to give you an invitation to your bedroom with the door closed for you and Joey to just be doing it while I'm home.
Yeah, you have to sneak it under the covers like the rest of us.
Well, that was the funny part, is that then later on, Mitch is like, oh, the fear of getting caught was the exciting part. And Dawson's like, oh, you're trying to liven up my sex life.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that you're along the right lines. I think that your part as a modern adult is being honest with your kids about sex and then providing them healthy and safe options,
right,
to do so, because you have to be realistic. The more you hide, the more likely they're going to go off and do things on their own or unresponsibly. Mm-hmm. So if you're, a parent to a girl, getting her on whatever birth control method you find is right for her, what her and her gynecologist agree on. If you have a son, buying them condoms.
Right.
The best advice that I ever got when I was a teenager was, if you're too embarrassed to buy condoms, then you're probably too young to be having sex.
That's so fair.
So like if you're like a teenager and you want to go buy condoms, but you're too embarrassed and you have to like ask like your friend to pick them up, then you're probably too immature, mm-hmm, to be having sex. So
yeah,
that's some advice that I was given when I was a teen by someone that was not my parent. But yeah, I mean, I was on birth control already, not even for...
Oh, yeah, same.
Not even for sex-related reasons. Yeah,
and that's super common as well. So that's, it's just
common,
like...
common as well.
I just thought that this was, like, this scene between Dawson and Mitch was, like, relatable in a certain way. Like, not that I would ever say, mm-hmm, the stuff that Dawson is saying to his parents. But, no, like, I feel like this is a common thing in most households that have teenagers in them. That, like, something, yeah, like this will happen where you get your first boyfriend or girlfriend and... like you have to keep the door open when they're over,
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think it's just
like out of respect.
Exactly.
Well, I feel.
And I think we all died laughing when Joey just pops out of the closet.
Yeah. It's just like, you're not going to stop me. I mean, I am a little sad about the ladder. I feel like the ladder is like so iconic.
Yeah.
That like for the ladder to be gone for the rest of Dawson's Creek, I kind of am, like, sad about that. I hope the ladder comes back in some capacity.
Yeah, I agree. I think it is an iconic thing that, like, that's their thing, right? Like, Joey, mm-hmm, climbs up the ladder into Dawson's room, so...
Yeah.
She hides, yeah, in his closet.
And, like, everybody in the creek knows about it, too. Like, Grams is like, I've seen that Potter girl climb up that, yes, ladder since she was 7 years old. Like, everybody knows about the ladder. The ladder... And even, like, freaking what's-his-face... Jen's ex-boyfriend stole the ladder. Yeah.
Bobby or something.
I feel like the ladder is like an extra character in the creek.
It is. Like it's just an iconic image. And so to not have it, yeah, there is like, it's really jarring.
I'll tell you what, the ladder ranks higher than Jen, ugh, in my rankings.
Jen.
I'm kidding. No, actually, but... Jen's fun. But so yeah, so that's the deal with Dawson and his parents. Gail's like, I have no clue what's going on. Like, you're having sex. And it's like, no, not having sex. It has to come. I feel like it's coming. Like, I feel like they're talking about it so much that it has to come.
Well, how many creep weeks have they been dating at this point? Do we know?
I would say probably like 2 or 3 creek weeks.
Yeah, it hasn't been very long yet.
Not very long.
But I think that
when's Dawson's birthday? My prediction is that they're having sex on Dawson's 16th birthday.
Interesting. Okay. I think that like...
it's probably like, he's like, this is the only thing that I want for my birthday.
Yeah.
Please give it to me, Joey.
I can totally see him doing that.
Yeah.
That's the thing. I feel like even though they're only a few weeks into their... a few creek weeks into their relationship. Yeah, they've known each other for such a long time that like... they're already like, it feels like they're months into the relationship because they avoided the whole get to know you session, you know? Yeah.
Do you think that they're ready?
No. I don't think they're ready yet because I think they're still, I will say, this episode, we'll get into Dawson and Joey. We obviously haven't discussed them yet. This episode was the most mature we've seen the both of them. And that, mm-hmm. in my opinion, bodes well for their future. Because, like, I feel like in the past, we would have seen Joey get really upset about the whole Jen thing. Even though Dawson didn't tell her everything. Like, you know Joey senses what's going on. And so yeah. I think that that's a good yeah. sign for the relationship and kind of, like, the trust. Especially after he read yeah. her diary, like, recently.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I do think that they're not... I don't think they're quite there yet, in my opinion. But again, it happens when it happens, right? So, mm-hmm. Do we want to just get Mitch and Gale out of the way?
Sure.
I can't with them.
So, Gale is salty, still salty about the open marriage thing. So they talk about it and then they decide, like, let's not do the open marriage. Like, I'm going to call it off. Like, you're not happy about it. Like, you know, like, Gale's like, I'll do it if it'll make you happy, but I'm not feeling it. So Mitch calls it off. So fine. Then Gale gets dropped off by the accounting dude.
Yeah, Frank.
And they do kiss goodbye, it's which is weird. Sus.
Like, here's the thing. Like, it's obviously Mitch needs to get over it and trust Gale again. Like, that's the whole point, right? If there's no trust, how are you supposed to move forward? But like, if I don't know. Like, if I'm Gale, like, here's the thing. She can't, every time that something happens, like, she can't talk to any men at all. Like, that's kind of where I would feel like she's coming from. But in his mind, he's like, why didn't you call me? I could have given you a ride.
Do you think, but I think that if he didn't see them, like, peck each other goodbye, then he wouldn't have been all weird about
why is she giving him a, that's so weird. I wouldn't.
I don't know. That was a weird one. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So I feel like that's what made Mitch jealous.
Right, but Mitch's solution is so stupid. Like,
no, oh, Mitch is a fucking moron.
We're going to take away the rules and then take away the need to trust you. What? Like, I'm sorry. No, it makes no sense. You can't have a marriage without trust. It makes no sense. Even in my opinion, if you're having an open marriage, you need even more trust than you would a regular marriage.
That's a great point. Because, I agree with you.
Yes, because, I mean... I don't know. Obviously, it's different for everybody, but like in my opinion, what they're trying to do with this version of an open marriage, it's not like polygamy. So this version of an open marriage, in my opinion, means, okay, it's Thursday night. I can go fuck whoever I want. And then we're married again on Friday. And then we're back doing our own married thing. So in my opinion, then, okay, you're trusting that your significant other isn't going to develop emotional feelings for somebody else, even though they're having sex with them. And that requires so much more trust. So
that, and like, you know, the whole thing is that it's like they have to promise to be honest with each other about what they're doing, right?
Yeah, because then they both get home and they're like, oh, what did you do? Like, I did this, I did that. And it's just, they both look miserable. This is such a fucking stupid idea, Mitch. Like, you're an idiot. Idea. Like, I understand that you're upset, and, like, I get that it would take time to trust somebody again, but to me, this obviously feels like the wrong answer.
Yeah, this is not good. So, yeah, like, Gale, it finally becomes Thursday. Gale, like, forgets, makes this, like, nice dinner for her and her family, and then Mitch is like, excuse me, it's Thursday, I gotta bounce, I got plans. So, what they ultimately do is Mitch is at a bar and like nobody's talking about him, talking to him because he looks miserable and looks like a loser. Gale is like, at first she's like, I'm just going to stay home. And then she's like, fuck this. Mm-hmm. So she decides to leave and tells Dawson, like, make sure if your dad asks, I'm out having a good time. Like, make sure your dad knows. Yeah. Make sure he knows.
It's
so
they both just look so miserable.
Yeah, though. You put Dawson into the middle of it again.
Yep.
And Mitch, Dawson's like, I have no fucking clue what's happening with my parents. Like, they're a bunch of freaks. Like, I don't know what to say. Mm-hmm. And then Gale just winds up at a coffee shop alone. And then, yeah, they both come back home. They get into bed together. And they're like, did you have a good time? And they're like, yeah, like, had a great time. Like, it was, like, such a good time. So it's, like, very screwed up. they're both miserable. They're both mm-hmm. unhappy, but and they won't admit it.
There, I have 2 points about this, and then we can move on from stupid Mitch and Gail. One, you take away the ladder, right? And you tell, like, you take Joey out of Dawson's room, and then you both go out on a Thursday and leave him home alone with Joey.
I know, it's which so would have been a stupid. Very, very good time for them. But no, he has to work on his project with Jen.
But I'm just saying, it's like, it's just very funny to me. It's just like, okay, you guys, I'm taking away the ladder. You can't have your door closed with Joey anymore. Oh, by the way, see you later. We both have Thursday plans.
And then come in through the front door.
Yeah, honestly. Yeah, do it anywhere. Whatever. Do it on our bed. Do it on the couch. Do it on the kitchen floor. Mm-hmm. Wherever you want.
And do it in all of the above.
Yes, all just the above. Just
make a checklist all throughout the house.
Once you put it check on a out, put it check. Magnetize that shit to the fridge, you know what I mean? Keep your checklist on the fridge so we can all see it.
I mean, pre-issues, Gail and Mitch totally did that.
Oh my gosh, you know they christened that house all over the place. 100%.
All over.
My other
how many never mind. Like, do you think that you've done it in like half the rooms in your house?
No.
No?
I mean, we have, like, a basement and everything, too.
Yeah.
Our bathroom is the tiniest room you've ever seen in your life.
You don't have creepy, dusty sex in the basement? What do you mean? You haven't been in the shower? Never mind.
Water is not a lubricant, people. Just saying.
Okay.
Anyway, so, yeah. So, I forget what my other point was. Oh, my other point about Mitch and Gail.
Good. I don't even want to hear it. I just want to ask you an appropriate question.
My other point about Mitch and Gail is that, like, okay, we're 3 episodes into this season. I have a feeling this is like a whole season long arc with them. And I'm just not here for it. This is
episode 3.
That's what I'm saying. I feel like we're already 3 episodes in and we're still like, it's still being harped on. Like, don't you get the feeling that we're in for a long ride with this?
It'll be done by the end of the season. I guarantee you. Actually,
that's what I'm saying.
If you don't want to hear spoilers, skip 30 seconds ahead. I'm going to say something really mean. I hope Mitch dies sooner than later so I don't have to hear the storyline anymore. Like, I'm just saying.
I don't disagree.
It's I hope so that that's how it ends.
It's like just divorce or don't divorce. Get over it. I can't.
Divorce or die.
Yes, those are your options.
Now that we're back from our spoiler-free podcast.
Yes, we are.
I swear, that's the only spoiler I know. Like, no, that's literally, okay. That's the only thing I know.
Where would you like to go next? Who would you like to talk about next?
Where would I like to go next? I would say, let's continue on the Dawson train. Choo-choo. Joey and Dawson? It's not that much. Like, they didn't really have anything to do with one another. Which was fine. Actually, you know what? I'm feeling this. I was very pessimistic about the relationship at the end of last season. I said there would anything but this. Anything but this.
Yeah.
It's not that bad. I like them together. I think that, you know, I think they're getting better and better with each episode. I think that they're, like, kind of healthy, like,
no,
not toxic.
I completely agree with you. And I think that, like, we see good points of Dawson here because he's like, I mean, he's talking about Joey and her future. Like, he's pumping her up, right? Like, he's, oh, you can do this. You know what I mean? Like, oh, I'm happy that you see a future for yourself.
Yeah.
Like, I really liked Dawson this episode. I felt like he was really good with Joey. Like, he knew the right things to say to make her feel better. And, like, mm-hmm. not only that, but I felt like it was, I don't know. How did you feel about, if you're Dawson, do you tell Joey about the Jen stuff? There obviously was an opportunity, right? There was a ton of opportunities for him to say, listen, I don't want to make you uncomfortable, but I just want to let you know Jen was hitting on me. Like, I didn't do anything. I told her I wasn't comfortable with it, but I wanted to let you know. Like, should he say that? Should he bother saying that?
The thing is that in a perfect world, yes, Dawson should tell Joey that, but we know that Joey is gonna blow up about it, and so it's like, it's hard, it's very hard. I can understand why Dawson would not, but if they're going to have like a relationship of complete transparency, than he should, because you know that like Jen's gonna go back to Abby, be like, look, like I kissed right. him, and Abby's gonna be like, go right up to Joey and be like at the copier machine and be like, isn't it so crazy that Dawson and Jen kissed the other day? Like, don't you hate it when boys are not yeah. loyal to you? Like, you know that it's gonna like come back around. It's going to be like Abby stirring shit up.
Yeah.
And like, you know, it's going to become a bigger deal because Dawson didn't say anything.
Yeah. And I think if you're Dawson, you want to control the narrative. You want to control yeah. the story. And I think right. that like, I understand why. Here's the thing. Like, this is where I give Dawson the credit, and I understand why he doesn't say anything. Because he doesn't want to cause tension. And I think he honestly, I think he feels bad for Jen. And I don't think he mm-hmm. wants to cause more strife in her life with Joey, right? Like, I think he wants everything to just blow over and him to get this project over with and go back to Joey and live happily ever after, right? But I totally get why he doesn't tell her. But I do think he probably should have mentioned it, even if it's after the project, right? Wait until it's all over with, because if you do it in the middle of the project, Joey's gonna yeah. freak out and everything.
Well, yeah, like at the last scene with them together,
yes.
it's like they're kissing, and then like Abby and Jen are like, get a room, and like Joey's like, what's that about? And Dawson's like, I have no idea. And yeah. then that's like the appropriate time to be like, look, I gotta tell you something. Like, Jen was coming on to me like the whole yes. time.
Especially
like, she
because
was wearing that dress. Yes, she yes. like brought me into like, okay, this is like, Dawson should have been like, here are my boundaries. We're not going up to my bedroom. We're going to stand yes. outside in front of my house. You're not even coming in. You don't even get to come in.
Like, I agree you know, with you. I think that like, if I had one gripe with Dawson, it's that mm-hmm. he knew what was happening and could have like cut it off sooner.
Yeah, but he like, could have created more boundaries between
yeah,
them.
Yeah, I think he could have been a little bit better about that. And I do think, though, that like, if I'm reading the situation correctly, I guarantee Dawson in his head was like, is she coming on to me? No, that can't be right. And you know what I mean? I think yeah. it took too long for him to realize what was happening.
For Dawson, this is so confusing. Because if you think about it like this, they're together, like, everything's fine in Dawson's, like, stupid little head.
Yes.
There's a couple of things about, like, Dawson messing up and being, like, judgmental about, like, the slut shaming. Then, like, ex-boyfriend comes in, world is blown up, like, she breaks up with him, like, quote-unquote, out of nowhere, says, like, I don't want to date anybody. She starts dating Cliff. Then she's like, I don't want to be friends with you. I don't want to date you. I don't want to be friends with you. Then she's like, I want to be friends with you. Like, why don't you do pranks yeah. on me? And then after that, she's like, I want to be friends with you.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay. And then she's like, I want to date you again. And then he's like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
And then he's like, no. Like, I'm good. And then she still comes on to him. It must be very confusing
yes.
for Dawson.
And all to of be this like, what is within happening? Like a few months. A month. Like, it's not that much time that all this no. is going down.
It's confusing.
Yeah, it's definitely confusing
for anybody.
And I think that, like, in my opinion, Jen has now turned a corner where she's, like, a cat and, like, she's playing with her food before she eats it. Like, she's, like, toying mm-hmm. with him. And so yeah. I think that, like, it's tough to be Dawson in this situation. Yeah. And I guess we can...
Go ahead. I will say, before we move on to, like, Dawson and Jen, which I assume we're going to next.
Right.
I will say that I think that Dawson is his best self when he's with Joey.
I agree. I think
so. Yeah. I like a lot of what I'm seeing with Dawson in this like first three episodes. And I think that he's like kind of a good boyfriend to Joey. Like I'm thinking yeah. back to last episode where he's like reading the diary, which
not great.
You know, not great if that's, like, you know, your opinion of that.
But I don't think that's the worst thing he's done in the run of the show. So it's like...
No, I don't think it's the worst thing he's done. So yeah. I think that, like, this is, like, the happiest I've seen him. I feel like this is the most comfortable I've seen him. The most secure. So I like this pairing a lot more than I would think.
Yeah. Oh, and so. Before we move on to Dawson and Jen, I will just say, because we don't really have a spot for it, so this kind of fits right here, is like Joey meeting with the woman and like kind of
pointing out the problems and the designs of the restaurants she was designing for, all that. I felt so happy for Joey because I just, all I want is for her to realize like her own potential. I feel like she's so hard on herself all the time. Yeah. And like for her to realize like, wow, maybe like there is a future in this for me. Like this woman sees potential. Like I think she has a tough time accepting compliments from people who know and love her because she doesn't think they're very genuine. And so to have like a person who is a successful single mother
that she looks up to,
that she looks up to saying those things about her really just kind of reinforced that for her. And I just felt so happy for Joey.
Yeah, I felt happy too. Like Laura, this interior designer slash artist slash mother, is like kind of the epitome of like you can have your cake and eat it too. Yeah. Like you can be like a family person and then get a further education and start a career like later in life. Like this woman was obviously like 34 like, and she's like had like this whole life ahead of her or before her. So and yeah, like she offered Joey an internship whenever she was ready for that. Like
it's a big
lots
deal.
Of like good opportunities for Joey. Like I think that that's what Joey, I mean honestly, take a step back from the ice house and like get this relative experience. Like even if she doesn't want to be an interior designer, like working into it in an office and like working under like someone that could be your mentor would be a great opportunity for Joey. Looks great on those Yale applications wherever she's gonna wind up. Does this go, it has to go, this has, this show, does it go into college years? Maybe a little bit.
It has to, because there are six seasons. Although this season,
you're not telling me anything.
Although this season, we're still in the same school year as season one. But season,
so are they in 10th grade or
they're
are they
in 10th grade still? But season one was a short season, so maybe that changes for season three. Like maybe this will be the end of their sophomore year at the end of the season. But who knows? I don't know for sure.
College years. Yeah. This is like, it's like, we're going to all go to the same college. Like, whoop-dee-fucking-do. Yeah.
It's going
to
be like, oh, talk about Jen's, like slutty years or whatever. It's like, wait till they get to college.
Jen's dead by then.
Yeah. Oh, my God. So let's move on to Dawson and Jen, because we were already kind of talking about them anyway. They get paired up.
So they get assigned. Yeah, they get paired up to this project.
They're a wealthy couple. Dawson's a stockbroker and Jen is an engineer, and they have kids and they're looking at like Ivy League schools for their children. And immediately Jen makes me so uncomfortable with, she gets closer and closer to Dawson. She's like, oh my gosh, it feels like we're talking like we're actually married. Like, ha 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 ha. It's like, Jen.
Yeah. They're read like, oh, the signs. This can be us down the line. It's like, oh no.
It was so cringe. So cringe.
Yeah. You know, she's saying that like they're very compatible. Like they agree with everything that they talked about, and they're like playing house marriage. You know, she says that there's moments that she feels like nothing has changed. And like Dawson's like, and once again, they're in, this time they're in Jen's room. Right. Dawson's automatically getting like a weird vibe, and he's like, decides to leave. And Jen's like, you know, Dawson, I'll always be there for you. My door is always open for you, if you know what I mean.
And wink, Dawson's wink, like, nudge.
Yeah, Dawson's like, I think I know what you mean and I don't want it. Yeah, like, goodbye.
Can I also say, shocking that Grams lets them hang out alone in Jen's bedroom. Don't
Where's
you
Grams?
Think that Grams would let Jen, like, make Jen sit at the dining room table to do the project together?
But the door was open, so...
Even still, Grams is way more strict than Mitch and Gail. Like, shocking. Oh,
well, actually, like, you didn't see it, but Grams is actually in the same room, like, sitting on a chair, like, just watching this
all
go
Jennifer,
down.
No hanky-panky now.
Yeah, like, she's right there in the corner of the room.
I could totally like see that being weirdo. True, like, watching every little move they make and be like, now, Jennifer, don't be a little slut now, you hear?
Grams has the yardstick, and as soon as they get a certain distance, she's like, okay, I gotta take out the yardstick, like, 2 yardsticks apart, please.
Yes.
Please back it up. So now, like, now it's the day before the project's due. Now they have to go to Dawson's house, like we were talking about before.
Yeah.
She walks up in a borrowed dress, borrowed by Abby.
Yeah.
And I mean, I'm not going to say that it's like a slutty dress. It's just tight and short.
It's just different. Here's the thing. It's different than what she normally wears. She usually wears like a mock turtleneck with pants or a floral dress.
Okay. Okay. This is what I'm going to have to say. This dress on Abby does not look the same as it does on Jen because of their bodies.
Yeah.
Abby, I mean, and what I mean by that is that Michelle Williams is gifted on the top.
Oh, chestier. Yeah, chestier. Of course. I listen.
Abby's flatter, so it doesn't look the same.
No, you know what I mean? Think that's, this is the struggle of being for all you men girl. Out there. Yeah, if you have a larger chest, anything you wear, I had these growing pains when I was a teenager. Literally any top I wore made it look like I was trying to show off my boobs, when in reality I was just trying to not look like I was trying to show off.
And then this is why you're wearing a sweatshirt, this is why I wear turtlenecks all the time.
Yes, because you get insecure about it. And again, this is because of, so anybody out there who's ever made fun of somebody for like showing off too much cleavage, if someone had like a larger chest, it's like, don't do that, because it's the slut shaming society that we live in that forces teenage girls to think that if they wear anything that shows the slightest bit of cleavage, they're going to be thought of as a slut. Like, that's
yeah, I mean, honestly, I don't wear the types of tops that I wore when I was like a late teen or something that showed more of it my chest, because I got insecure about it. So like, that's absolutely true.
Yeah, and I totally agree with you. But yeah, obviously this dress is meant to symbolize like Jen going through her Sandy moment of like, you're the one that I want moment, you know. And she, like, it's so much worse this time. Like, it was bad enough in her bedroom.
It's bad.
She offers him a massage. Like, it's too much. Like, I'm sorry. Consent is important, Jen. Like, don't touch him if he doesn't want to be touched.
Oh, yeah. She's like, I'm so tired. I can barely go across the way to go to bed. I don't even think I can
make it next door, bitch.
Yeah. So she's just like, I can barely make it across the way. She's trying to seduce him. Her like straps are falling off.
If I'm Dawson, I'm like, you could crawl next door. Like, get moving, move along.
I know the ladder is not there anymore, but please just exit from that window immediately. Let me push you off.
it's so awkward. And finally, like, Dawson is like, all right, I'm not oblivious. Is that normally what you'd wear to a study session? Don't you find this humiliating? I thought that might have been like,
yeah, I didn't like that line, to be honest.
I think that was a bit too far, in my opinion, because
She even says, can I sleep over?
Yes.
Like, can I sleep in your bed with you? Like no. And then she's like, and then he's like, this is not appropriate. Like, I don't want you to sleep with me.
Yeah.
And she's like, Dawson, how dare you think of that? Like, can you not handle it? It's like, so now you're gaslighting him, being like, no, this is not what I was saying, when you were obviously saying that.
And here's the thing. I think we both agree that like what Jen is doing is obviously like not right, wrong thing to do, whatever. But this is the most interesting Jen has been.
Like, oh, no. I don't hate, like, honestly, I don't hate Jen. Like, this is interesting. Like, this is.
Of course, it makes for good TV.
Like, even Abby said something, like, along these lines later on at some point. Like, what did she say? She's like, like, I am so excited about your New York City regression. You know, old naughty Jen, like, can't wait to see her come through because the new Jen isn't working.
Yes.
And it's like, I think that's what the producers in the writer's room were saying. Like, new Jen's not working. We need old naughty Jen. Like, bring her in.
Yeah. And Jen even says, I got bored and decided to liven things up a little bit. And that's when she kisses Dawson, which, again, like, in my opinion, this is not the time to make your move, Jen. Like, if you want to get Dawson back, it's only a matter of time till Dawson and Joey find a reason to break up, and then you make your move.
Like, very that.
And not only that, but, well, I might just add, I don't know that you want to have sex with a virgin Dawson. I feel like wait until he has sex with Joey, gets a little bit better at it, and then seduce him. Like, why?
But you know that Jen's going to have to be doing all the teaching either way.
Right, but I'm just saying, like, still, do you want to have that awkward first encounter? I mean, not really. So I would just wait a little bit.
No. No, yeah. So, yeah, you know, I think that she feels pretty grody about all this. Like, you
she
know,
makes
you
a face
get
when
that,
she leaves. Yeah.
Yeah, you get that, like, that shot of the face that you always get in dramas, like, contemplating why you get yourself in this position.
Yeah.
I mean, ultimately, like, bad on Jen. Bad on Dawson for putting himself in this position. He did not have to let her in his bedroom.
I just think that, like, if we're to Dawson's credit, he may have, like, suspected what was going on when she was like, oh, we're going to go somewhere comfortable. But, like, it's not necessarily his fault. I would just say that, like, maybe he could have, once he realized what was happening, said, maybe we should go to the dining room or something like that. But yeah. I don't feel like
I mean, I'll tell you something. Like, as soon, like, I wouldn't want my boyfriend inviting any other women into the
bedroom. That's fair.
No bedroom. No bedroom action.
That's fair.
Dining room or outside or go
to
the library.
There's so many places to work. Yeah.
Go to the library. Why do we have to go over to each other's houses?
Yeah.
Ridiculous.
Let's move, because we're already talking about Jen, let's talk about Jen and Abby, because
the disaster duo, back at it again.
Yes, I love that nickname for them. I mean, obviously Abby is a godsend, a gift sent from the gods. We love her. Yeah. I love literally everything she says. Gosh. Like, she's like, they're two meatheads. Like, Abby can't believe she's friends with someone who only has eyes for Dawson, which I love.
Yeah, that she's like, he makes me ill. Yes. She says that the gym junkies are so disgusting. It's almost erotic.
Yes.
She's great. She's
so
honestly
mean to
a
Kenny,
treat.
Though. Like,
oh my God. Line... Why is she so mean to Kenny?
Poor Kenny?
But everyone's mean to Kenny. Everybody, like, even in econ class, they're all laughing at Kenny.
I know.
Even
I
the teacher's
so
like, yeah, even the teacher's like, ha ha ha, like, you need to get marriage counseling. It's like, why is everybody so mean to Kenny?
Yeah. And, like, I feel like she could, like, the saying is, like, you get more flies with honey or whatever the hell. Like, she could have been nicer to Kenny and, like, manipulated him into doing the work versus berating him and just being like, ew, Kenny, like, get away from me and go finish our project. I have a demanding social life. Like, she's so mean to poor Kenny.
Abby, what the fuck? So, yeah. Throughout this entire episode, we have Abby just hyping Jen up to, you know, regress to naughty Jen from New York. You know, and between, like, hyping her up to, like, seduce Dawson and then simultaneously, like, making fun of Dawson and, like, dragging him. So it's like, so, like, and... you know, Joey along with it, like, you know,
I think it's funny though that, like, I love Abby so much, and yet she's the one who's doing, like, telling Jen to do the things where I'm like, oh, Jen, that's so cringy. Like, I just think it's funny that, like, for some reason Abby just, like, tickles me. Like, she calls Jen a sex kitten. I think what it is that Abby just wants Jen to be happy. So she's, like, hyping her up. Like, she's a very good hype woman, I think. Like,
oh, yeah.
She's a really good best friend. But we can see that she's a very bad enemy.
Yeah, I also love how she's like, Kenny, what do you think about Joey Potter? And Kenny's like, she's hot. And she's like, shut up, you're a loser. You don't know anything. Joey might be pretty, but she's not you.
Yeah.
And... yeah, so then she's like, you need to slut it up. Borrow my dress.
Yeah. What are you thinking so far of the Abby-Jen friendship?
Oh, I mean, it's delightful television. Horrible for Jen, but delightful television.
Yeah.
Happy for Abby that she finally has a friend. But
yeah, I think this is, like, it wouldn't surprise me if this has happened to Abby in the past, where, like, she's brought someone down so low to her level, and then they eventually just are like, I can't be this awful person anymore.
But what does Abby want? What does Abby want from life? Like, does she want...
She just wants to have fun.
Was that fun?
That's okay. My guess. I think she just enjoys.
Never experienced that before.
I just assume she enjoys being the tornado. Like, she loves being the Tasmanian devil who just leaves disaster in her wake. Like, we saw what happened in the detention episode. She just loves leaving behind a fucking mess for people to deal with. And she's out skis.
Do you know anybody like Abby? I don't know a soul like her.
No, not anybody. And that's why I love her as a character. I just think she's like such, she's so toxic that it makes her fascinating.
Yeah. Great TV. Love it. Would not want to have this person in my life in real life.
Oh, absolutely not. Absolutely not. No. Yes.
Firecracker. So funny. So,
shall we move on to Pacey and Andy?
Yeah, so Pacey and Andy get paired up in economics as well.
Yep.
So we get Andy really spiraling because she did not get to take notes from econ. Mm-hmm. I don't know what she was up to. I forget, but
she left her backpack in her locker, so she couldn't reading or something.
Okay. So didn't take notes. Asked Pacey for the notes. Of course Pacey doesn't have it. And Andy's like, I don't want to get called on, like, this is gonna be so bad. And Pacey's like, just like, pass, it's not a big deal. Andy should have asked Joey for the notes.
Yeah.
Andy, you know that Joey would have like a full set of notes. Like, Joey's like probably the best student in the class.
Yeah, I think besides that, like, Kenny. I do think that's slightly surprising. I find it less surprising that she didn't ask Joey if she didn't already have that interaction with her about Jack. But she's talked to Joey before. So she, and maybe Joey just gave off, like, really, like, don't fucking talk to me vibes. Like, Joey can have a bit of RBF. So I wonder Andy got that vibe. And listen, I highly relate to Andy. Like, this was me. Like, if I wasn't prepared for a class, like, I would be freaking out just like Andy was. Like, I totally get it. And if I was paired with Pacey on a project like this that was worth 30% of my grade and I knew Pacey was, like, a huge slacker, like, I'd be pissed and I'd be doing everything that Andy's doing and getting really annoyed with Pacey that all he cares about is some stupid fucking car. Like,
yeah.
Totally relatable content.
But I feel like Andy would also pay attention in class. So the fact that she couldn't, like, pull out what's the difference between micro versus macro.
But maybe it was in the reading and they didn't learn it in class.
Oh, you think so? Mm-hmm. Okay, that would make sense. So, yeah, now we get to econ class and we can, like, dip into, like, these pairings and the assignment. I mean, it was a microeconomics assignment of the family lifestyle. Right. So that's where we get the alternative lifestyle thing. So essentially they're assigned a partner and then from a hat and they have to, like, figure out, like, a family budget and things like that. So the groups were, as we talked about, Andy and Pacey. They're a lower middle class family with three kids. Mm-hmm. Pacey's a bus driver. Andy's a sales clerk. Mm-hmm. Abby and Kenny, we don't know, like, what their family lifestyle is, but we know that Abby didn't do an ounce of work.
Right.
Trey and Jeff, the aforementioned meatheads from the beginning of the episode, they're a same-sex couple. They're well-to-do. One's a pediatrician. The other's an advertising executive. They have, like, this big wedding to plan. Yeah.
I will say I appreciated that they made them just pick out of a hat and didn't have it, like, oh, men can only pick women and all of that. And I thought that the interaction between those guys at the ice house was very funny.
It was pretty funny.
I really liked that. It was really funny. It was a funny touch.
Yeah. Dawson and Jen, they're a wealthy couple. Dawson's a stockbroker. Jen's an engineer. They have two kids in college, like we were talking about before. House on the beach. Annual income is $400,000, which would get you pretty much nowhere these days. I mean, I wouldn't sniff at $400,000, but still, you're not sending two kids to Harvard on a $400,000 annual salary between the two of them. I don't think.
You could. I mean, not an Ivy League college, but state college.
Harvard. I just said Harvard.
Oh, then no, you're not. What about inflation? If we looked it up, that would be a lot more nowadays.
Oh, okay. So I forget about the inflation.
Yeah. And then Joey is a successful single mother raising two kids on her own.
Yes, that's rough.
So Pacey and Andy obviously have to, like, the whole conflict between them is that they're a lower middle class family, so Andy is trying to budget for them, but PC thinks that she's just being a spoiled brat because we've talked about this in the past couple episodes, she drives a fancier car, he knows where she lives, and he's like, oh, that's like a ritzy part of town. So he just assumes that she's super rich. And this really offends Andy, like to the point where we've seen Andy upset with PC. But like to me, this was like very obviously he hit a pain point for her, and her reaction made him realize like, shit, I really fucked up.
Yeah, but he doesn't know like why or how, like, you know, he says like, you don't get it. Like, this is just playing house for you. Like, people in the real world are really struggling. You're just doing this for a project.
Right.
And yeah, like she runs off, she cries, and then he's like, I don't know what I did. I don't know what this was about. So
yeah, what did you think of Pacey's strategy? Because obviously he didn't go to the Ice House just to get a cup of coffee. Like, what do you think of his strategy of getting information out of Jack?
I think it's good. Like, you know what? At least he's trying to understand what the heck is going on. Like, I don't think the approach is calling her bipolar is like very appropriate, but
is she on some type of medication because she just
ridiculous no, you're just a fucking asshole, PC. Like, you're a jerk.
It was the way the wording was not great, I think would have been said differently nowadays. I think the better approach is like, oh shit, like I really upset your sister, can you give me like some background? Obviously he's a teenage boy, he's not sensitive to that type of thing, but
So
we find out that Jack is like, oh, it couldn't be further from the truth. Basically, they used to be rich, kind of like a Schitt's Creek type of thing. They used to be rich.
That's what I was thinking.
Now those days are over. He has this job for a reason. His family needs money. And that the only reason they still have that fancier car is just like that's the last thing that they were able to salvage or whatever.
Yeah. The phrase was these are the last artifacts from a decaying dynasty.
Exactly. So we get a vibe that Andy's home life isn't like the sparkles and rainbows that PC thought it was, and that maybe they have more in common than PC originally thought, right? Because his whole argument was like, I'm the black sheep of my family. Like, I can't do anything right. Like, you're so lucky that you're rich and privileged and have all these opportunities that I don't have.
Yeah.
It turns out they have more in common than they thought. And I loved the moment. They're in econ class. I love petty Andy. My God, I love petty Andy. She's like, I did my half of the assignment solely from the wife's perspective.
Yeah, very funny.
I would totally see myself pulling something like that.
I'm sure.
Partner pissed me
off. I'm sure. Yeah. So, but then Pacey feels very bad that he like kind of messed this up.
As
so
he should.
Did like a very good comprehensive project, and he said that, you know, both me and Andy did this project. Wonder how that breaks down in comparison to like her project, but whatever.
It looks fairly comprehensive. My guess would be they get like a B versus like an A plus if she did it. But because of course he gave them the fucking Viper. Pacey, why? And he's like, oh, we have a one bedroom apartment, bitch.
Yeah, ridiculous. But nonetheless, she appreciates that he did the work and like he came through, and he apologizes, which I think is like, I'm not surprised, because like I feel like if anyone apologizes, like Pacey is the one to apologize. Yeah. Like, he's not the type of person to not be apologetic.
Right.
He's you know, he understands when he does wrong and he admits to it. So they're having fun. They're flirting. Like, he like kind of like wants to know more, but she's not giving it to him quite yet. And then as they're walking past, we see a car, a convertible, and a woman in a mirror. And it's fucking Tamara.
Yeah.
What the heck? Oh my God. I honestly said this before. I said this to you like when I watched it. Literal chills. It was just, I wasn't anticipating it at that moment. Like, you know, you and me talked about like her coming back like that. I said like, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if she came back. But I, you know, I would have thought that she would have came back in the first season. I honestly thought that I was like out the window at this point. I wasn't expecting her at this point. So I think it's because I wasn't expecting it, it's actually the perfect time for her to come back. Like, let's surprise the viewers. Like, yeah. Let's, like, turn the tables. It makes perfect sense now. There was a call out or a callback in either the last episode or the episode before where Andy said something about dating older women. And, like, Pacey was like, oh, yeah, like, wouldn't that be crazy or, like, something mm-hmm. like that. So there is a clue that it could have came. And although, like, I caught the, like, the reference to yeah. Pacey being like, that's, like, crazy to date, like, an older woman or whatever he said, I still didn't catch on that that was, like, a little bit of, like, foreshadowing.
Yeah. So what do you think's going to, like, happen from here? Because we obviously have, like, Pacey and Andy are now getting along. Like, they obviously at the very least have the very base level friendship happening. As far as we really know, he's the only person Andy's really hanging out with, right? Like, she hasn't really made many other friends that we can see.
Yeah.
How do you see this impacting that?
Yeah, I think that Tamara came back just to check in on how everything was. Like, she left very suddenly. Mm-hmm. And it's maybe just, like, surveying the land. She's probably been thinking about Pacey and probably wanted to talk to him. Like, I don't know if, like, maybe she wanted to apologize to him.
She fucking
but
should,
I
yeah.
think that, as she should. But I think that the fact that he's talking to Andy, whatever way, like, she's going to interpret it as, like, Pacey's moved on, which is probably going to make her jealous, which is probably going to initiate something else, and we're probably not going to have to go through this again. It's like, did the last season not even happen? Like, hello? Like, I thought we got over this. Now we're back to the Mitch and Gale stuff. Now mm-hmm. we're back to, like, you know, all this crap. Like, I think it's going to be... Now, the interesting thing is, did Pacey learn that he doesn't need Tammy? He could, you know, live his life without her.
Yeah.
Is that the lesson that Pacey's learned? Is he going to shoo her away?
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah. We'll see.
The funny thing is I usually have you, like, guess what the next episode is about, but literally the title of the next episode is Tamara's Return. So it's like,
they just really put it really all out there.
Put it on blast. Yeah. So, yeah. I mean, obviously we don't need to go over that. But I did.
You know what I heard somebody refer to this season as?
What?
Pacey's Pond.
Pacey's
Pond. So I don't know if that means, like, they wish that the show is called Pacey's Pond or that this is a very Pacey-heavy season.
I just also think, like, this, I felt like season one, he wasn't fully himself yet. So I think, mm-hmm. like, it also could just be a reference of, like, season two is really, like, Pacey coming into his own as a character. Mm-hmm. Like, I totally yeah. could see that being true. I mean, maybe it could be that. It's more Pacey-centric as well.
Yeah. I can't do, you know, five more episodes of Pacey and Tamara.
Yeah, me neither.
I don't want it.
Me neither. So, do we want to do? I have my sassy saying ready if you want to hear it.
Yeah, yeah.
This What's is the sassy saying? Obviously from Abby, because who else am I going to choose? And she says, are you going to be passive and piss me off? Or are you going to grab him by the dipstick and make me proud?
Yeah, that whole scene was very funny. Like, just jerking my gherkin, yes. like humping the pillows. Like, that whole scene was, like, very funny mm-hmm. in terms of, like, anything that Abby said was hilarious.
She cracks me up so much.
Yeah. I didn't recognize any songs in terms of, like, you know, 90s mm-hmm. Notable 90s songs. But so we have a bunch of feedback.
Okay.
So first of all, Ben Cohen reached out to us and kind of critiqued our singing, which is fine. Because we were really into singing the song. So he wrote to us. Hands. Yeah. So he said, I fell in love with the theme song when I bought the DVDs. If I remember right, Paula Cole's song was on the season one DVDs, but not seasons 2 through 6.
Oh.
So even if you buy the DVDs, it's not on this there, is which bullshit. Is surprising.
If you're going to spend the money on the DVDs, give me the fucking proper theme song. Come on, I know. Now.
Apparently, the song in its entirety was recorded only for the DVDs and subsequently streaming theme song for Dawson's Creek. So, okay. So basically, obviously, the DVDs came before streaming and the song was for the DVDs. Makes sense. He sent us the song so that we don't have to sing anymore if we want.
And I didn't suggestion. Don't
a
sing.
A subtle suggestion. And he tweeted at us. Like, I didn't realize, like, this song had a name. Like, I didn't even know. Like, the song is called Run Like Mad, which I didn't even know. And it is by Jan Arden. So he also tweeted at us and said, like, LOL, love your Dawson's podcast, but can I please send you the Jan Arden Run Like Mad MP3? It's literally only 30 seconds long. The artist only recorded that small clip. I mean, you can keep singing, ... if you want. So sorry our singing was not up to par, but whatevs. I know it sucked. Ben continues, Andy was probably my favorite character when she was introduced. Thought I'd share. Yeah. So thank you so much. I'm sorry. I'll try to sing better. I've listened to the song, and if we ever want to bring up the song again, we'll play the MP3. Next up, we have a email from Trent Burns. Hello, Creek Freaks. First off, I want to say I finally caught up with you guys. It took me 2 months to get current on the pod. Have been watching Dawson's Creek since it originally aired, and it's been amazing to hear your breakdown every episode, one after another. Thank you.
Thank you so much. I'm glad you're all caught up.
The coverage has been very fun. My first TV teen crush was the one and only Joey Potter, a.k.a. Katie Holmes. Which I can totally see that.
Because she's the girl next door. She's literally like so the girl next door.
So pretty. You might be interested to know that I bought the DVD complete series a few years ago. And the theme song is omitted from those DVDs as well. Oh, so yes. They wrote in too.
I love that.
So it's not just a Netflix thing. It was first on the DVDs. And then when it started streaming, that's when they also use the same song. So good to know. Anyways, keep up the good work. I always look forward to see your podcast pop up on my feed, Trent. And he claims that he is Team Dawson.
Interesting.
Whoa. Hot, spicy take. And then we have an email from our friend Dirtbag Kelly. Kelly writes, I believe what Sarah was going for the TV school crush thing was a grade school / high school crush with tough question. I still don't know what I was trying to say, by the way, but TV school crush is not
only a Kelly is able to translate what you were trying to
he say. Knows he's the one person that knows. Tough question. First, my first thought was Claire Danes from My So-Called Life.
Okay,
which, by the way, Kelly, if you did not listen to our coverage on My So-Called Life on the Pilot Season podcast, please hop over and listen to us cover that.
Yes, that's Pilot. That was so much fun. If you want to go listen, that was a lot of fun with my
Pilot. Yeah, Pilot SZN. Listen to that. That was a lot of fun. But my first crush was probably Lisa Bonet, more from A Different World than the Cosby Show. Then moved to Freddie, Cree Summers, also on a different show. Honorable mentions go to Carrie Russell, obviously, from Felicity, Amy Danlis from Sweet Valley High, Nikki Cox, Unhappily Ever After.
He is crushing all over the place.
My age-appropriate crush at the time was probably Larissa Olin. I can't even say it. From Secret Life of Alex Mack.
Yes,
know that show.
Yep,
he says it could be a Canadian show. It's not. We saw that too.
Yep.
And then yes, Andy McPhee is high on the list. Mm-hmm. Also, I clearly age myself with these answers. I mean, I've like seen a lot of these shows.
Oh my gosh, Lisa Bonet is beautiful. Beautiful, beautiful. She was in Big Little Lies, and I loved her character in that show. She is like insanely gorgeous.
I mean, she got Jason Momoa, so
exactly.
Okay. Also, thank you, Gerbrad Kelly, but you said October 21st, 1998. Much appreciano. Okay, on to the episode. The ladder finally comes down. Kind of a big thing, I guess. It was a big thing.
It was a big thing. Yeah, wait, it is a big
thing. I don't know why this bothers me, but of course, Dawson doesn't have a backpack, and I don't even know why what it's called, but I hate it. Dawson never wears a backpack to school.
I always notice Joey's backpack and Jen's backpack.
Joey always has a backpack, yeah.
I also really like, I think it was Abby's backpack this episode.
So everybody gets a partner, but Joey, feel like the teacher should have brought, should have thought this out better. Yeah. Maybe there should have been a throuple.
Yeah, or she gets like half the assignment to do or something, because that's not fair.
Yeah. Who mops the floor like that, Jack?
Yeah, seriously.
He doesn't like that Joey is being a jerk to Bessie, but...
I don't know. I think that we talked it through, and I think that they both had faults in their logic.
Yeah. Feel bad for Mitch. He's clearly broken by the cheating, but why does he think an open marriage will help?
Yep.
God knows. We don't know. Mm-mm. Pacey's coming off a little judgy. Kenny's coming in hot with a solid Joey Potter is hot contribution. Shut up, Kenny.
Good job.
You don't know
Kenny.
Anything. You don't know. I know we like Abby, but she's giving terrible advice. We know, but that's what we like. We like the mess.
That's what we love about her. She's a fucking hot mess. And I'm like that fucking woman from that Netflix show that likes to clean. She's like, I love mess, and that is me.
Yeah. I'm sorry, but who do we think Pacey thinks he is? He comes in late to the ice house to get coffee, like at the end of the shift when everyone's trying to clean up. Never met Jack, but then disses your sister in a few minutes. Really?
These are all solid points.
Yeah. He's like, I'm going to come in and be like, number one, you're closing up, but it doesn't matter. I still want my coffee for free because you know they already cleared out the register.
Yeah.
Then I'm going to shit on your sister and call her a psycho.
Yeah. And meanwhile, Jack's like, how does Jack leave?
Yeah. How does Jack not beat Pacey?
I think Jack is just super mellow from what we've seen.
Does Jack ever get a personality?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I'm waiting for it.
It's a slow burn.
Also, Dirtbag Kelly wants to know where Bodie is.
Yes, we do too.
Did he just dip? I don't think he dipped. I think he's working.
I don't think so either, but we need more information.
Yeah. And then fucking Tamara. Amazing. Another decent episode. We get more Batgirl Jen and Abby, which is fun. The what do we call them? The disaster duo.
Disaster duo. I love it.
Always enjoy getting to see Andy and Pacey together. Also, we get the added layers that Andy is kind of neurotic. Yeah. She definitely is. Yeah.
Definitely. Yep.
Cares a lot about school. Dawson wasn't terrible, but a little too easygoing with Jen. We agree.
We agree.
We could have put up more boundaries.
Yeah.
Don't study in your room. Yes, thank you. Thank you, Kelly. Thank you. We agree. Maybe not let her rub up on you so much. Maybe.
I don't think it's necessarily his fault because he can't, I mean, he's put in an awkward position.
Like, push him off.
I agree, but if Dawson was a girl, would we be saying the same thing? Like, I think it's tough no matter what. If someone makes you uncomfortable, it's really hard to kind of be like, ew, get off of me. So I get it.
The open marriage is clearly going to blow up in Mitch's face. I'm sure it's gonna end up in a disaster, and stupid Tamara back to screw up the Andy vibe. Go away, Tamara. Nobody likes you. Hashtag team Andy. Thank you, Kelly.
That was great, Kelly.
That was great. Sucks. I mean, freaking Tamara is just like going to totally ruin the vibe.
We'll see what
happens. I can't believe it.
Yep.
I wasn't expecting it. I really
it's
wasn't.
Coming up next episode.
Was it like Tamara's here if you like it or not? Is that the episode
That's
title?
What they should have named it. The alternate title. Tamara's here whether you like it or not.
What's it called? Tamara's here?
Tamara's return.
Whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Tammy.
Tammy.
Who's Tammy?
Ugh. Every time I hear Tammy, I want to throw up.
Tammy.
Tammy.
Okay. Fashion hour?
Time for fashion hour. This week, I made the picks, and you get to decide who wins. So, first up, we have Jen. This is the Rachel Green Award for the most 90s outfit. This is the outfit where she is in the cafe with Abby. She is wearing a long sleeve, kind of like a, it looked almost like a band t-shirt, but like a longer sleeve version of it. And it had, and I specifically remember these types of shirts where the seams were like on the outside. So it almost looks like you're wearing the shirt inside out. Mm-hmm. She has a lot of clips in her hair, like a zigzag part, also very 90s.
Yes, the zigzag part. Yes.
With the clips too. I feel like a lot of clips in the 90s.
Yes.
And yes. She's wearing like an ankle length black pant and notably platform sandals. It wasn't like a flip flop. Like it had like a really big part that goes over the top of your foot. And they looked like they had like an embroidered flower on them, which I also thought, I just like really remembered having those like very chunky sandals in the 90s with the flower embroidery. I feel like embroidered flowers were also a really big thing.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, I mean, this outfit is, like, pretty cash, but it's a different type of look for Jen. I haven't really seen her in this look before. Can't deny the zigzag part is such a 90s mood. Mm-hmm. This shirt is almost, like, sheer as well. It's definitely a 90s outfit. Well,
that's why I had to pick it, because I was like, this is such a different outfit for Jen, but also extremely 90s. And I really liked it.
Yes. I like it too. Yeah.
Next up, we have Abby Morgan, and this is in the first outfit we see her in. This outfit is, there's so much happening. So her top is, originally it looks like a tube top, but I believe it has just like very like thin spaghetti straps.
It's being hid by her backpack.
Yeah. And it has like elastic around the top where it kind of frills out, and then also like right underneath the boob. And then it's kind of like horizontal striped almost. Her pants though, my goodness. They're like a like velvety suede, like navy color. Yes. They're awful.
like velour.
Yes.
Velour moment. It's kind of belled out at the bottom.
Yeah, which makes it tough to see her shoes, but we can definitely tell they're platforms regardless of what they exactly are. Mm-hmm. And her necklace, I definitely had something like this. It's like a very simple pendant with like a blue marble looking thing surrounded by like silver. And I definitely had this. And her backpack also I really liked, which is very vibes of like those miniature backpacks that people would wear in the 90s. So almost like too small to be a backpack. And her hair is just like a simple clip in to like pull it back from her face a little bit.
I do want Abby to darken up her hair. Just, I like it better.
I like this vibe from her, though.
Do you?
She's I like the her dark highlights. Hair better.
It's not summer.
I know, but I like them.
Mm-hmm. This outfit's fun. It's different for Abby. We don't really see Abby in blue. But it's definitely, it's a fun look. The pants are kind of like everything.
They're everything and nothing at the same time. They're just, I have questions.
Exactly. Everything but nothing.
And next up, I couldn't not include this outfit, which is why Jen appears twice in this Rachel Green Award nomination. And it is the obvious Abby dress that she wears to Dawson's. It's blue. It's like obviously low cut. It's spaghetti straps that are like falling off. It has like this like transfer into brown at the bottom and like brown detailing. And there's like a sheer like top with like the slip underneath and the shoes. My God, the shoes are the most 90s thing ever. They're like platform chunky ass bitch sandals. These things give her an extra like 4 inches of height. They're insane.
Yeah. I mean, this dress is basically lingerie, to be honest with you. But that is very 90s. Like, they had, like, that skinny silhouette, and they had, like, that, like, clothes that are, like, nearly lingerie, but, like, nearly not.
Yeah.
I think that between the two Jen looks, I think that that this dress has to be the winner. It's just, like, iconically, like, awful, and she was just such like a hot mess wearing it. So this is the winner, Jen's dress. Or is Abby the winner because this is Abby's dress? Hard to say.
I mean, I would give the point to Jen simply because she also paired it with the sandals, so she's the one pulling the look off, I guess. Or maybe not.
I agree. Give it to Jen.
Moving on to the Paul Rudd Certificate of Timelessness for the most timeless outfit. We're starting off here with Joey in a very, in my opinion, summery look. Anytime you're rocking white pants, you're heading into the spring, summer time period. Kind of like longer white pants. And she has on a light blue tank top. The straps on this are interesting. That's why I chose it. I remember having a shirt that had straps like these because they're kind of spaghetti strap, but they certainly wouldn't have flown in my school because you had to have like 3-finger width straps. And these are definitely like 1.5 fingers max. Light blue. Yeah. She looks very like young and fresh, I think, in this outfit. Obviously, her hair is always the same. She like never changes it. It's just straight parted on the side.
Yeah. I mean, this is like a, you know, it's a normal outfit. Like white shorts are timeless. They'll never go out of style for summer. The top is like fine as well. She has such a good tan.
Mm-hmm.
What the heck? They're definitely utilizing that, those docks. They probably like on their off scenes, like probably go to the docks and just tan.
Yeah, sunbathe. Yeah.
It was probably a beautiful place to film.
100%. Yeah. Oh, it had to be.
Yeah. Pretty good. Pretty good.
Next up, outfit. We have Mitch in his like grungy, pissed that Gail got a ride home from work outfit. So just denim jeans, kind of like a medium wash, not too light. And then he has on like a muscle shirt, but it looks like it was like a t-shirt that he just cut the sleeves off of. It's disgusting because he's like cleaning, like scraping this boat. But Zaddy Mitch, he makes stupid decisions, but gotta say, he's looking good.
I mean, come on. Come on. He looks good. He looks good. His arms look really
it's
good.
It's arm day at the gym for Mitch. He needs to never wear sleeves.
Every day is arm day for Mitch. Yeah, this shirt might be disgusting. These pants might be light wash, but you can't deny that this is the look. Can you imagine Zaddy Island in this look? Ooh, golly. Damn. I wish.
Yes. No, he looks good. He should never wear sleeves. I think that should be the rule.
Yeah, I didn't even realize that he had arms like this.
No one did because he hides them all the time.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's the look.
Yeah. And last up on the list, making her third appearance for this episode, the girl had versatile looks this episode. I had a lot of, here's the thing, I had a lot to pick from. It was really hard narrowing it down, but I did put Jen here also in the Timelessness Award nominees because this is the outfit that she is, the first study session with Dawson at her house. So she's wearing like a medium wash jean. It kind of looks like a straight leg, not really too flared out. Maybe a little bit flared, but not too much. And then a pink top, a pink like long sleeve top, very like baby pink, had like a little bit of detailing on the cuff. A little bit tough to see it because she has it like pushed up on her arms. And her hair looks like very natural. Like she didn't really style it much. I didn't mind her hair as much here. Like I felt like the clips aged it a lot and made it look way more 90s. And I think that this styling, it's more a little bit more natural.
Yeah. I like the color pink. I really like pink. Like I always say, like pink's not my favorite color, but I always gravitate towards pink. So I like the pink. Her hair, it looks good for what it is.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, I think it's probably growing out a little, so maybe it's not as bad. Like, I think that just like my first look at her new hair being like in the intro and it being curly, I was very scared, but it's not that bad. Mm-mm. But yeah, like this is like a nice cash look for Jen. I do like how this season she's gone away from like the floral dresses and the cardigans and like she's revamping her style. And like I have seen zero turtlenecks, which might be a crime. It might be a crime, but they are definitely giving her different silhouettes this season, which is nice. Ultimately, I'm a simp, as the kids say. And my winner is going to Mitch. He is insufferable. And I think he's my least favorite character in the entire show. But you can't deny those arms of a prize.
So congratulations to Mitch and Jen. You are our winners this week. Rightfully so. Jen had to get at least one award for how many times I put her in the running this week.
No, I mean, like, of course Jen's getting an award. Like, Jen's...
She has Jen, good fashion. Like, you have Jen to say has that. Good fashion. Like, Joey yeah. really, like I could have put her in more, but honestly, like, the first outfit I saw her in, again, could have been Dawson's hand-me-downs. Like, she just doesn't
They're
have.
All Dawson's hand-me-downs.
Well, that outfit wasn't. The white pants, definitely not. No. But yeah, so I don't know. I liked this episode. I think it's a lot of like scene setting, if that makes sense. Like,
oh yeah, it's you're setting up for like the volley.
Exactly. And I think like yeah. next episode it's about to get crazy up in this bitch. So I cannot wait for the next episode. I feel like it's going to be a ton of fun.
I know. I don't know if I'm ready. I just feel like it's going to be chaos.
I can't wait. I'm going to watch it this weekend because, you know, I can't wait. I don't want to wait. Anyway. Yes. So what we have coming up next, we have obviously more Boy Meets World. Always, always more Boy Meets World. And then what will already be out by the time this podcast comes out was the astrology podcast that we did. We did it with Boy Meets World Fever, Cameron and Chance. They came on. Lovely, lovely guys. They're so nice.
No, they're the best. They really are. They're so nice, so supportive.
Yeah, they're so sweet. And they came on and we taught them all about astrology. And then we sorted the Boy Meets World characters into astrological signs. So if you like Boy Meets World at all, if you like astrology at all, give it a listen. It was a ton of fun. You don't need to have any background knowledge on astrology to enjoy the podcast because we were teaching right. them about it.
101.
Exactly. So give that a listen. You'll see that out already. And then we have more exciting stuff coming up in the month of April. So stay tuned. It's going to be a ton May. Of fun. Oh my God. I keep doing that. I keep saying April and I keep thinking we're in March. Like this month, this is going by so quickly. I can't.
I wish it was still March. March was a good month. It's not March anymore, boo-boo.
Well, we have to move towards my birthday.
Yet.
It's coming up eventually.
No.
Anyway.
My birthday.
So, always. So that's what we have going on. So, yeah. Sarah, what about our social media?
You can find us at Shit90sPod on Twitter and Instagram. If you want to send in feedback like our friends did earlier, which I always am very excited to see. It makes me so happy. At Shit90sPod@gmail.com. You can find myself at Sarah Ferguson if you'd like. You don't have to. Jess is the JessSterling12.
Nope. Right? I am at right. the Just Sterling on Twitter if you'd like to follow me. I don't tweet a ton. I tweet sometimes, mostly about the podcast I'm on,
you
honestly.
Retweet.
I retweet a lot. I retweet a lot. Yeah. And just keep listening and give us 5 stars so we could just get up there in the ratings. As always, much, much appreciated. We will read if you write anything in there, we will read it on the podcast. So thank you all for listening. Mm-hmm. We look forward to talking to you all next time. Just have a good one. Bye.
Shit 90 Shows taught me.